Good morning and a blessed Sabbath. Good to see each of you here. I always want to remember to recognize and welcome our friends that are watching on television, or could be on AFTV or Facebook, YouTube, and our members. We have members around the country and other parts of the world that are members of this church because there's no local church they can attend, and there's some of our online members. And sometimes we meet them on our mission trips. They join up with us. And do please keep the program in prayer. You've heard us mention many times that we're going to be in New York City. Pastor Ross mentioned in the prayer. There's also flyers in the foyer because we'll be hosting the meeting here locally. And you can invite a friend or a neighbor and come and support the local program. It's nice to kind of get together and watch something and discuss it together later and to be part of that as well. Well, this morning, the sermon title is simple enough, but it is a very deep and an important topic, and it's on the amazing power of words. We live in the economy of words. We are reading them and typing them and texting them and thinking them, and we are surrounded with this currency of words in our communications. The Bible tells us, Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Words can bring life, and words can bring death. In fact, you are sitting here today because of words. The Bible tells us God spoke, and it was. You read there in Psalm 33, verse 6, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. God can speak things into being, which is good news because he can say to you, be holy, and you can be holy. There's power in God's word. All of the sin and misery in the world today came through words. You read there in Genesis chapter 3, now the serpent said to the woman, has God indeed said? He began to question the word of God. And all the trouble and misery that's in the world today is because of the wrong words. Words are incredibly powerful. Soft words sung in a lullaby will put a baby to sleep. Inflammatory words will stir a mob to violence. Eloquent words will send armies marching off to face death. Encouraging words will fan the flame of genius like Milton or Lincoln. Powerful words will mold the public mind as a sculptor molds the clay. Words, spoken or written, are a dynamic force. This is one of the things that separates humans from animals, is that we are made in the image of God. God speaks, and things happen. We've got this gift of abstract speech. Now, I know that animals have some simplified language, and you know, they've got mating calls, and they've got, you know, calls for warning, and there's calls for foods on the table, and animals can give each other signals. But when you consider what humans can do with speech and words, there is no comparison. Let me illustrate real quick, okay? All right, you can't really see my face. I'm not going to do anything with my body. I might even close my eyes. I'm going to talk in a monotone. Now, you close your eyes if you want. Just listen to what I'm going to say. So you're in a kitchen, and you got a great big fresh lemon. It's one of these big lemons, and it's a real lemon, and it's about the size of a little Nerf football. And there it is, shining yellow in the light. You take a butcher knife, and you cut that lemon into four even quarters. You cut it long ways, so they're like wedges. And then you pick up one of those lemon wedges. You grab it with each hand by the corners. You start to peel back the skin away from the fruit, and it starts to squirt everywhere. You can smell the lemon now. And you then open wide your mouth, and you bring the lemon up all the way, press it into your mouth, and you bite down to hold it there. Anybody salivating? You didn't see a lemon. You didn't smell a lemon. You didn't even see me use any charades to describe a lemon. Words evoke physiological changes. Some words can make you cry. Any preacher worth his salt knows that. Some can make you laugh. These abstract thoughts that are going through the air that help us compose thoughts, it's amazing. It's powerful. And we use them all the time, every day, and sometimes for good and sometimes for evil. And you read the scripture reading that in the judgment we will be judged by our words, because Jesus said, if your words aren't right, your heart's not right, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if you've got a problem with your words, you need a heart transplant. And the wrong words can hurt people. We should be evaluating our words, because it makes a big difference. God wants us to speak positive, powerful words. You know, when you think about during World War II, Roosevelt would have these fireside chats. I don't know if there's anyone here old enough to remember that. He'd get on the radio and he'd talk and he'd try and encourage the nation. We weren't expecting to get sucked into this war. We weren't at all ready for war. And somehow through his fireside chats, and Roosevelt couldn't even walk, he was somewhat crippled, but he'd get on the radio and he would empower people, and he'd turn these industries like GM and Ford into military juggernauts. Do you know that we were putting out 8,000 planes a year? No, we were over 1,000 airplanes a day at the peak of World War II. One Liberty ship a day. It was just, no one else in history had done anything like that. Words mobilized the nation. Churchill. People were being bombed every day by Hitler, who, by the way, used his words to stir up and inflame. And he had to encourage the people, Churchill, to hold on, to press on, to get through it. And before football players go out at halftime to turn the game around, the coach gets them in the locker room, and what does he do? Tries to use his words to give them a pep talk. Boxer's in the ring, and he's getting beat up, and his coach says some things to him. And those words, he can't touch him. Well, maybe he can fix his cuts. But through his words, he tries to inspire him to dig deeper and fight longer. Four armies go marching off into battle. A good general knows how important it is to mobilize and inspire the troops. Number one reason an army often loses, they're demoralized. And some people are demoralized by words. Some are demoralized by the words in a place where they work. Some are demoralized by the words in their family. Some children become demoralized in class. Where words can be negative, they can also be positive. Speaking of Jesus, Luke chapter 4, verse 22, "So all bore witness to him, and they marveled at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth." Jesus poured forth gracious words. Proverbs 25, by the way, I don't have time to read all the Proverbs that deal with words, but words are the central focus of the book of Proverbs. Over 90 Proverbs deal with our words. So I can't read them all, but I'll read some. Proverbs 25:11, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver." They're beautiful. It's like a jewel. Proverbs 10:20, "The tongue of the righteous is choice silver." Isaiah 50, verse 4, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary." We're surrounded by weary people, and God wants us to say words that will buoy them up and encourage them. If you're ever in doubt how a person is feeling, encourage them anyway. We want to speak positive words. And a church in particular ought to be a place, as it says in that old wagon train song, you know, "Give me a home where the buffalo roam." The church ought to be a place where seldom is heard a discouraging word. As we see each other, we're coming together for encouragement. This is where we get our batteries charged, through the proclamation of the word, the singing, the fellowship of other believers. Hold each other up in our words. Amen? Someone said, "A compliment is verbal sunshine." 1 Peter 3, verse 10, "For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit." How many of you would like to have long life and good days? Peter says that's connected with what you say. You've heard of self-fulfilling prophecies. Yeah, some people have hurt themselves by just always being negative, saying the wrong thing. little amazing fact I thought I'd drop in here. According to health.com in general, women speak at a higher pitch than men, from 165 to 255 hertz, while a man's voice, almost an octave higher, is 85 to octave lower, I meant, is 85 to 155. They've also found that women can hear at a higher range than men. Researchers have shown that women of all ages have better hearing than men at higher frequencies, above 2,000 hertz, which is very convenient, because now when your husband says, "I didn't hear the baby crying," you know, he's telling the truth. That's just too high a pitch. He didn't hear it. And maybe that's why he didn't hear you. If your voice gets shrill, he doesn't hear you anymore. He hears, "Woo, woo, woo." It's like the old Charlie Brown movies when the adults would talk. What was it? Wah, 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 wah. Can't hear after a while. It's physiological, is what they're saying. Plentiful words. Now, just in case you're wondering, I worked very hard to start each one of these 10, and if you're counting to see how long the sermon is, I have 10 points. We got powerful words, positive words, plentiful words, painful words, provocative words, prudent words, patient words, predictive words, perjuring words, and then you've got the powerful words of Christ. Plentiful words. Proverbs 10:19, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 7, there is a time to keep silent and a time to speak. God give us wisdom to know the difference. Amen? Do you know that Webster's Third International Dictionary of English, unabridged, says that there are 470,000 entries in the English language. We only use about 170,000, and we don't all use that many. The typical knowledge of words is about 10,000 words. Men and women know about 10,000 words out of 470,000. A journalist knows 16,000 words. Shakespeare use 31,000 words, twice what the average journalist would use. A woman in one day speaks approximately 16,250 words. Males speak 15,699. A man was sharing this fact with his wife and he felt real gratified. He says, "You guys speak 500 more words than we do." And she said, "That's because I have to repeat everything to you." And he said, "What?" Go with me in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1. The wise man who also wrote Proverbs said something about words in church in particular, but it's really good anywhere. Walk prudently. Ecclesiastes 5, you're going to find that right after Proverbs, which is after Psalms. Walk prudently when you go to the house of God and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. Now, the sacrifice of fools is when you offer something that doesn't cost anything. That's talking about your words. You've heard the expression, words are cheap. For they do not know that they do evil. Do not be rash with your mouth, and do not let your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven, and you on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. And even as I'm preaching this, I'm thinking, here I am preaching 45 minutes about making your words few. But I want you to know, I have 4 hours worth of message, so I'm cutting it short today. Let your words be few. For a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools, speaking and not keeping your word. Pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin. Now there's an interesting point I've underlined in my Bible, is that you can allow your mouth to cause your flesh to sin. We should be circumspect in our words. Sabbath school teacher was asking the children in her class, why is it important to be quiet in church? And one girl raised her hand and said, because people are sleeping. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they'll be heard for their many words. Matthew 23:14. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. God is more interested in the depth of our prayer than the length of our prayer. He wants to know, are we praying sincerely? Now, I think there are times when we will pray long. Jesus spent entire nights in prayer. Those prayers ought to be silent. I think if the church gets together for an hour of prayer, it doesn't mean that it all needs to be spent with somebody speaking. There ought to be times of quiet meditation during that time in prayer. Prayer is not always our talking to God. Sometimes you need to wait before the Lord on your knees and listen to what he's saying. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 3. There's a lot of Proverbs about too many words. He that guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Pretty serious. Proverbs 17, 28. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he's considered perceptive. I've been in a number of executive meetings in the stratosphere of the church, and I'm looking around at all these talented, educated people around me, and I think, the only thing I can do to improve my perceived IQ is don't open your mouth. So I just get a bemused look on my face and I listen. Fold my arm. Don't say anything. They're going to know how much you don't know. Consider this. The Lord's Prayer contains 56 words. The Gettysburg Address, that classic, 266 words. You know, the same day that Lincoln gave the Gettysburg Address, he just sketched his address on the back of a pad of paper. And we still have, an original copy of that today. He was a side speaker. The main orator talked 2 hours. Nobody knows what the orator said. Longer a person talks, the less people remember. The Ten Commandments, kind of like the Gettysburg Address, 297 words. The Declaration of Independence, 300 words. My sermons, typically 6,000 to 7,000 words. I know because they transcribe them sometimes for booklets. It's embarrassing, I know. A little girl was waiting for the pastor to get done talking as he droned on and on in exasperation. She looked at her mom and says, if we give him the money now, will he stop? The government price for setting the value of cabbage, 26,000 words. This makes you understand better why taxes are so high. Proverbs 13, verse 3, he who guards his mouth preserves his life. Job 13, verse 5, oh, that you would be silent, and then it would be your wisdom. Silence is the best and surest way to hide ignorance. A man grows wiser, he talks less and he says more. Blessed is the man who abstains from giving windy evidence by the fact that he has nothing to say. So there's plenty that it says in Proverbs about measuring how much we say, especially when we come to the house of God. Then there's painful words. Job 19, verse 1 and 2. Job answered and said, how long will you torment my soul and break me in pieces with your words? Job is suffering the most intense agony from his trials. He's lost everything. He's lost his health. He's lost his possessions, his family. His three friends come ostensibly to comfort him. Then after a while, they change their minds and decide, you're probably suffering because you've done something bad. Fess up. And they go after him. He says, you're breaking me in pieces with your words. 1 Peter 2, verse 1 and 2. Laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word. How much evil speaking should there be in a Christian's mouth? We should not say anything negative that would hurt or destroy somebody. Now, there's three kinds of words. You've got words you speak to God. You've got words you speak to others. And you've got words you speak to yourself. I talk to myself. I walk through the house. I say to Karen all the time, "What?" And she said, "I wasn't talking to you." I said, "Well, there's no one else in the house. They're talking to me." And some people could talk to the devil, but I hope that doesn't go beyond just saying the Lord rebuke you. You don't want to be getting into a conversation with the enemy. But giving harsh words, how many of you can remember something somebody said to you that pained you? And it may have been 50 years ago. It may have been a parent or somebody close, and they said something cutting. How many of you remember a compliment that someone gave you years ago, and it kind of just changed your self-perception and encouraged you? Might have been a music teacher or somebody that just said, "Wow, that is great. You're the best. You're going to go far." I remember a third grade teacher. I had a lot of schools, a lot of teachers. I don't forget Mrs. Weinbaum. It's a hard name. Mrs. Weinbaum, poor thing. That she had me in her class. I remember standing up on the ledge and saying I was going to jump out the window. She said, "Go ahead, you're only one story up." And I got into trouble all the time. I was my grandmother says I was a hellion. I was a difficult child. I know you find that very hard to believe. And I was getting in trouble. I was not getting my work done, and she kept me after class to come up here. She pulled out a blank piece of paper. She said, "Let's get a new beginning." She says, "I want to give you a new start. See this clean piece of paper?" She says, "You and I, we're going to have a clean beginning. From here on, would you like to have a clean beginning? Would you like to start over? She said, "Doug, she called me Dougie, "I hate to see waste." She said, "You are very intelligent. You are wasting your time in school. You could be learning. Let's start learning. It'll make you more productive." And she gave me this encouraging talk, and you know what? I was so inspired that she believed in me, I really tried. I don't know how long it lasted, but I really tried because she made me feel like I wasn't an idiot, that there was hope. And we all remember those positive words. They change us. And the painful words can really hurt. The most deadly animal in the world is a mosquito. It kills 2.7 million people every year. Just a little mosquito. Little words can make a big difference. Words can be provocative and cause problems. Go with me now to the book of James. And this is a passage I think many of us are aware of. If we go to James chapter 3, we're going to read a few verses here. "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that you'll receive a more strict judgment." You get up, you speak a lot, you're more accountable. Pray for your pastors. "For we all stumble in many things." By the way, there's a proverb that says, "In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking." The more you talk, the better chance you're going to say something wrong. "We all stumble in many things. For if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, and also able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at the ships. Though they are large, they are driven by fierce winds, yet they're turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so the tongue, it's a little member, it's a small organ comparatively in our body, but see how great a forest a little fire can kindle." We've got a scandal going through our church now. It'll fade out and the wave will die, but it was all generated by a sentence. And there, I get online there, everybody's talking about this. I'm not going to get into it, but it'll go away. There'll be another one that'll come. Just a few words that were spoken. And as soon as I heard it, I thought, ooh, that's going to get a reaction. Words can set things on fire. "Even so the tongue is a little member, and it boasts great things. Behold how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body." See what Jesus said? "Out of your mouth you'll be judged by your words." "It can defile the whole body and set on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell," speaking of the unconverted tongue. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who are made in the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Why do you get blessing and cursing from the tongue? Because it comes from the heart, and our hearts are struggling all the time between the spirit and the flesh. And it comes out in the words. For me, this message is for me. One of the biggest struggles I have is governing what I say, knowing how to not speak at times, knowing how to pray before I respond, be patient in giving an answer, saying things that are positive, not getting caught up in gossip. We've got to think about these things. I don't know about you, but I believe what Jesus said. Every idle word that you speak, you will give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Now, I don't know about you, but if there wasn't mercy, I'd be sunk. Because I know I've said plenty of things that I wouldn't want to face in the judgment. And now, you got to be really careful. Because everybody with a phone has a hot mic. You ever make a pocket call? Didn't know someone was listening? Yeah. And God's got microphones everywhere. So we need to be careful what we say. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives and a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. He's basically saying we should be consistent in having positive, encouraging, uplifting, divine words come out of our mouth. One way to solve that problem is fill our hearts with the Word of God and repeat His words, and you're safe. Please say amen. Amen. That is one way for us to have a change in our speech, is to fill our mind with the Word of God. So there's the provocative words. Be careful what you do with your tongue. It is a slippery place. Jewish proverb used to say, gossip has three tongues. One hurts you, one hurts others, and one hurts the one you're talking to. It's like a forked tongue. Leviticus 19:16, Moses said, you shall not go up and down as a talebearer among your people. If your foot slips, you can recover your balance, but if your tongue slips, it's hard to recall your words. They're kind of like feathers on the wind, that once you speak them, they're out there. Some people get things on the internet that they said, and they try to clean up their image, and it's really hard once it gets out there. 1 Timothy 5, verse 11. But refuse the younger widows, for when they've begun to... He's talking about who in the church should get support from the church. And he said, refuse the younger widows, for when they've begun to grow wanton, they get lonely. Against Christ, they desire to marry, having condemnation because they've cast off their first faith. And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, not only idle, but gossips and busybodies, saying things they ought not to say. If when you speak and you're talking about a problem, if you are not the problem, or you're not talking about a solution to the problem, that's gossip. Isn't that right? Of course, there's been a lot of gossip under the pretense of prayer request. See, I've got something I want you to pray about. Listen to this. And you kind of try and sanctify your gossip. Proverbs 26, verse 20, where there is no wood, the fire goes out, and where there's no talebearer, a gossip, strife ceases. We've all known in class or work environments, there's some person that just goes from one party to the other, try to get everybody to circle the wagons and create division. It's like entertainment for them. You know, there's six things the Lord hates. Yea, seven are an abomination to Him. You know what the seventh is? He that sows discord among brethren. People that gossip and create division. God hates that. Christians are to be peacemakers, not division causers. Amen? Proverbs 18, verse 6, a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calls for blows. A fool's mouth is his direction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles. They go down into the innermost body. Something about gossip. We feel like I know something that nobody knows that makes me more important because I've got inside information. Wait until you hear this. And we get attention by talking about other people's pitfalls or calamities or whatever it might be. Patient words. Proverbs 29:20. Do you see a man hasty in his words? There's more hope for a fool than for him. Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. I heard about this man. He inherited a parrot. The parrot had formerly been owned by a drill instructor, crotchety old guy, a formal drill instructor, and he had a very foul mouth. And all that parrot ever heard was cursing and yelling and name-calling and abuse, and that's what he repeated. Well, the man inherited the parrot, and he thought, well, the parrot, they outlived him, may last for years, you know, they can live 70 years, and thought, I'm see if I can reform them. But he was embarrassed to have anyone come over to the house because the parrot, every time he talked, he'd try and tell him good words. He's cursing, things you can't repeat, swearing, insulting, derogatory, and he kept saying, look, you got to stop. And he'd try and say nice things to the parrot, and the parrot would come back with these terrible, abusive, cursing, foul, blue words. And one day the man got fed up when the parrot went into a tirade of cursing. The man took the parrot in exasperation, stuck him in his freezer. See if he can cool him off. And it was in the freezer and had carried on a big ruckus, and then it suddenly became very quiet. Thought, well, he certainly couldn't have frozen to death yet. And he took the parrot out. And he said, I'll be good now. I said, well, thank you. What made the change? He said, well, I'll tell you, but you got to tell me, what did the turkey in there do? True story. Put away from you all evil speaking. Here's another important point when it comes to gossip. If you hear people are gossiping about you, don't lay it to heart. Ecclesiastes 7:21, do not take to heart everything people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. For many times also your own heart has known that you have cursed others. He's basically saying, if you hear that someone or others have talked about you, I know it can hurt, but don't dwell on that because you know what? People talk. Even though Christians should not gossip, people in the world gossip. And so don't let that derail you. The devil often uses that by whispering what others are saying about you, and it gets you all distracted. You can't control it. Don't do it. Chinese proverb says, a word once sent from the lips cannot be brought back with a chariot and six horses. Proverbs 26:4-5, do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he is wise in his own eyes. Well, which is it, Solomon? Do answer the fool or don't answer the fool? Solomon is saying, he's using a little irony here, if you're communicating with a fool, you're not going to win. If you don't answer him, he thinks he's right. If you do answer him, you sound like a fool for arguing with him. Sometimes you just got to know when to be silent. Amen? This is important. Predictive words. You can sometimes, by your words, define your own destiny. Now, I got to be careful because there's a lot of prosperity preachers out there that they abuse these truths and they basically say, you can speak wealth into your life. You just say, I'm waiting for my new Bugatti. I'm waiting for my new pickup. I see myself, and you proclaim your wealth. You proclaim your riches. You proclaim your success. You proclaim that you've got that new job promotion. And you can proclaim everything's going to go well for you. That's not what Jesus told the apostles. He said, you're going to be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there is some truth to the point that your words can become a prophecy. You've heard of a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's biblical. You keep saying the same thing. Predictive words, Matthew 12, verse 36. But I say to you that for every idle word men shall speak, they'll give an account. By your words you'll be justified, by your words you'll be condemned.
Psalm 141, verse 1, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. That's a good one for us to repeat. How many of you remember the story in the book of Numbers, the children of Israel, they came to the borders of the promised land. And after the 12 spies came back, Joshua and Caleb said, let's go at once. 10 of the spies said, no way, we're never going to make it. Giants are too big, walls are too big, armies are too big, we're done for. We're going to die in the wilderness. And the people chose to believe the negative report of 10 of the spies instead of believing the word of God that said you're going to have the land and the words of Joshua and Caleb that said we are able, God's with us. And because they believed the negative report, listen to what happened. It says, and all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Be careful what you pray. Numbers 14, God says to them, verse 28, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so will I do to you. The carcasses of you that have complained against me will fall in the wilderness. Be careful about just going wild with your words, because they may come true, for good or for bad. What you say does make a difference. Life and death is in the tongue. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word proceed from your mouth, but what is good and necessary for edification, that it, your words, may impart grace to the hearers. Your words can impart grace. Why does it say in Job, let the weak say I am strong? Because the weak is strong, or by their words, it can make a difference. I mean, if you encourage yourself, sometimes David had nobody to encourage him. He's being chased by his king and by his son, God had said, I've anointed you, I've called you. And circumstances told David it's hopeless, and David would have to encourage himself in the promises of God and proclaim the promises of God, and they then became real as we claim these. Do you believe that, friends? That's true. God's waiting for us sometimes to seize upon his words. Words can be predictive as you believe them. Then, of course, there's perjuring words, and that's just dishonesty. Proverbs 6, verse 16, six things the Lord hates, seven are an abomination, a proud look, a lying tongue, a false witness who speaks lies. Psalm 120, verse 2, deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you more shall be... Wait for it, it's coming. What shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? A warrior's sharp arrows with glowing coals of the broom tree. Jesus has talked about hypocrisy in our speech. This is, people draws near to me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Does God want us to be honest in our words to him? Of course. You can't judge a car by its horn, can you? And some people will just, they'll say anything, but you want to know what's really in the heart. And we should be encouraging to people, but I might mention it's important to encourage honestly, to affirm, to be appreciative. Words love, people love, they respond to encouragement, support. But that's different from flattery. Flattery is you're slapping someone on the back because you want them to cough something up. Flattery is what they call artificial sweetener. So, and when people compliment you, someone said a compliment is like perfume. Sniff, don't swallow. So, but be affirming, be positive, be encouraging, but you don't want to be thick where it stops being real. Finally, pure and promising words. And these are the words of Jesus. First of all, when God wanted to send someone into our world to represent him, what did he send? The Word became flesh. The incarnation as a man was the living embodiment of God's Word. Christ was the embodiment of God's Word. We don't know what Jesus looked like. We got a lot of artist concepts, probably looked like a typical Jew of the day. That's why they had to get Judas to identify him. He looked like everybody else. We always see him, he's dressed in white and blue, and you know, he's got hazel hair and blue eyes, and he got all these artist concepts, but there's no outward form or comeliness that we should desire him. What Jesus did to change the world was what he said. People heard him. They sent the soldiers to arrest him. John 7:46. They came back. You know what they said? Where is he? You're supposed to arrest him. You know what they said? No man ever spake like this man. That's why his words changed the world. Psalm 45, verse 2. You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. That's a messianic psalm. John 6:68. When Jesus said, are you going to go somewhere else? They said, Lord, to whom will we go? You have the words of eternal life. Jesus said, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which will judge him. The word that I've spoken will judge him in the last day. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if we're saying, Lord, I need a speech adjustment. In our families where we work, are you a witness for Christ in your classroom, with your friends, with your work associates, and most importantly, in your family? We want to be able to speak words of kindness, encouragement, purity. We want to have the words of Jesus in our mouths. Every time you speak, your heart is on parade. Psalm 19, verse 4, this is a good prayer. You know this one? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, notice they're connected, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. There needs to be a change in the heart if there's going to be a change in your words. First of all, we need to all pray. We're going to sing in just a moment about wonderful words of life. But before we pray, I want to have a prayer before we pray. How many of you would like to join me in saying, Lord, I want to first ask you to forgive me. Think about that log of words. You know that you speak enough words in one day to fill a book with about 25,000 words? That's an average. That's a lot of books of words to face in the judgment. If God doesn't have a big shredder, we're in trouble. So how many want to pray and say, Lord, please forgive me for the things that I've said that have been painful or hurtful or unwise or reckless or untrue or gossip. Lord, please give us new hearts and change our hearts. Help us to have your words on our tongue. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that can wash us and provide new hearts that will generate new kinds of speech and new kinds of words. Amen. Someone said, a careless word may kindle strife. A cutting word may wreck a life. A bitter word may hate instill. A brutal word may smite and kill. A gracious word may smooth the way. A joyous word may light the day. A timely word may lessen stress. A loving word may heal and bless. The Bible says it's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Jesus said, the words that I speak are spirit and they are life. Fill yourself with his words. Amen, friends. Loving Lord, you've heard our prayer that you would not only give us a clean slate, forgive the many words we've spoken through our lives that are inappropriate. We know we can't make it through a day or a week unless your Spirit is guiding us in what we say. Help us to speak words that are just and holy, noble, true. Give us self-control so that we could know how to be patient in our response, when not to speak and when to speak. And we know all of this will come from transformed hearts, Lord. So give us those new hearts. Bless each one here today. Please be with the Prophecy Odyssey meetings that start in just 6 days and pour out your Spirit there. We thank you for all of this and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.